Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it's another morning. Everybody wake up. God has given us another day all over the world. Come on. Brand new day.
Lord, I thank you for another day to sing your praises. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I am your host, Minister Daphne Smith, and you are listening to For the Purpose of Godliness podcast. This ministry is designed to bring biblical insight, address your need, and plant the seed of godly purpose, sharing with you testimonies and the Word of God. Let's put that first, sharing with you the Word of God and testimonies that will motivate you to live a life of purpose. So every Sunday I'm here, Lord willing, 8 a.m. Pacific time. And thank you so much for your support. Email address is for the purpose of godliness at gmail.com. You can send me your prayer request or your praise report. Call in number is 646-668-8917. And I want you to be encouraged knowing that God has a purpose for you. The scripture tells us to exercise ourselves for the purpose of godliness, discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We're going to talk about that some more, but right now we're going to move on. Just thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited about what God is doing. He's a wonderful God. Oh, come on now. And he is so worthy to be praised. All right. Got a lot to get to and a short time to do it. Heard a message the other day from Pastor Wanda Fraser Parker. And the message was entitled, Your Vision is Too Big to Fail. And I was so excited about that message because it was just so on point. So on point for me personally. As a minister, as a preacher, as a teacher, it was just so on point for me. So I'm just going to share some points that she had in that message and share something. Hopefully I get to share some of this from a site that I looked up today. She mentioned an author, Bernard Hayes, and I looked at his site and looked at some of his books in which talks about a vision and growing in our vision and our vision that impacts. So today is a vision impact, and it's Proverbs 29 and 19. That has a little twist on it, too. So we just going to try to pack all that up in the next 25 minutes or so and see what the Lord is saying. All right. Okay. So let's go to the scripture, and the scripture is Proverbs 29 and 18, and most of us know that scripture because we've heard it so many times. It says, where there is no vision, you need to underline that, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. All right? There's another scripture that I want you to look at. Proverbs 11 and 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I have a couple of more scriptures, but those are the two that was on my mind today. And let me see if I can get this amplified version of scripture right quick, and then I'm going to share this with you. It says, where there is no vision, no redemptive, listen at this, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. That's vision, no redemptive revelation of God. So I looked that up this morning. I was going, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. No redemptive revelation of God. So I've been talking about God's goal, vision, and mission. No redemptive revelation. Does our vision bring about the redemption, the redemption of God, the revelation of God that saves man from his sin? Oh my goodness. Does our vision include that? There are a lot of good visions in this world. But does our vision have the revelation, the redemptive revelation of God? Okay. So also in Proverbs 11 and 14, the one that I read, it talks about in the multitude of counselors, in the multitude of counselors, we need counsel. We don't like counsel, and we need counsel, or we perish. It says, for the lack, listen at this, for the lack of guidance, a nation's fall, but a victory is won through many advisors. Now, that's the New International Version. Let me get the King James Version, because that's the one I want, and see what this says. Okay, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where no counsel is, listen, that word counsel, we're still talking about vision. That word counsel means rope pulling, constraint. I've been talking a lot about constraint. Help me, Jesus, constraint, steering like a boat, steering. The Bible talks about our tongue. You know, how we can't tame it. We can tame animals. We can tame all of those, but we can't tame the tongue. That just came to me. It's rope pulling. It's steering. It's direction, guidance by God. The people fall. It means to go to ruin or perish. So we go back to Proverbs 29 and 19. It says, without vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no redemptive revelation of God, no prophecy, revelation of God's word, the people lack restraint and perish. But happy is he that keeps the law of God. So I'm just kind of tying this all in. I know we shout a lot about where there is no vision, the people perish, and it is good to have a goal, a vision, a mission that comes from God, all of those things. Been talking about Ezekiel 20, the Lord tells them to walk in his statutes, keep his judgments, do them, hallow his Sabbath. All of that is tied in. It's the redemptive revelation of God. So let me try to get this, a few of these points out. So when I was listening to the message, it was three things that Dr. Frazier talked about from this book, Vision Impact. One is, number one is sight is a function of the eyes, while vision is a function of faith. Vision, redemptive revelation of God. function of faith. Sight is confined to our current environment, while vision sees beyond our now to our future possibilities. Okay. Future possibilities. The third thing is sight is fueled by an idea that will bring temporary satisfaction, because the Bible talks about temporary satisfaction. Where we are right now is temporary. Temporary. It's temporary. And the Bible talks about the eternal. We have to have our mind on things eternal. This sight is fueled by an idea that will bring temporary satisfaction, while vision is fueled by an idea that is so powerful, listen to this, that it can live beyond the grave. Come on now, Jesus is alive and well. I just want to say that. The vision, just to put it in talk, that we can understand the vision, the purpose, the goal, the vision, the mission that Jesus has, is living beyond, you know, his physical death. So that's why vision, the redemptive revelation of God that brings redemption to man, has to live, our vision has to live beyond us. When we leave here, our vision has to live beyond us. Come on now. Has to live beyond the grave. Wow. And I thought about some things that even in my own personal life that I missed. And I was thinking about that today, and I was going, wow. Wow. You know, because there are some things that we just miss. And they are important, but thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Okay, so do you have a clearly written vision that will impact your life, your family, your community, and the world? And is it the redemptive revelation of God? I want you to keep that in mind. Where there is no redemptive revelation of God, his word, the people lack restraint. So here's another definition of vision. It's a clear mental picture of a preferable future that God communicates to an individual. And what he really communicates to us is himself, his word, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. You know, it's not really complicated when you put it in the context of God's word. It's not complicated. So it's a preferable future that God communicates to an individual. The individual becomes so committed to the vision. Are we committed to the word of God? Committed to the vision, he or she will pursue it despite, come on, y'all, despite obstacles and challenges. Hey, all right, I just felt a little something right there. Despite obstacles and challenges, are we pursuing the redemptive revelation of God's word? I got to read this scripture in 1 Samuel 3 and 1. It says, I just thought about it because I have it written down. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The B part of the scripture says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. And then there's a semicolon. There was no open vision. There was no publicly accredited prophet with whom the revelations and secrets of the Lord were known to dwell, and to whom anyone could go for help. Oh, my goodness, so does our vision. That's the redemptive revelation of God's word. Come on now, there was no open vision, no place where the people could go for help. And Eli was the prophet, and they couldn't go to him for help. Come on now, or his sons, and they were twisted too, because Eli didn't do what he was supposed to do with them. I'm not going to get into that. But there was no open vision. It was precious because revelations, prophecies, visions, and contact with Jehovah was scarce and valuable. oh my goodness, was scarce and valuable. This implies that in the days of Samuel, there were more plentiful and common, and men had prophets to whom they could go to at any time. This implies that in the days of the author, they were more plentiful and common, and men had prophets to whom they could go to at any time. There were prophets that they could go to in Samuel's time. The word of the Lord, that says, was precious in those days. And then there's a semicolon that says there was no open vision. Wow. And it kind of sounds like us today. I'm kind of off track on my notes. It sounds like a contradiction. We have so much word that we hear. I'm just kind of going with the flow right now. We have so much word that we hear. Most of it is off. Okay. Most of it is off. And I'm going to tell you all now, look up the scriptures for yourself. Even if you're listening to me, look up the scriptures for yourself. We have so much word, but still, there is no really open vision prophets that we can go to and hear a word from the Lord. Okay, just want to put that out there. No word from the Lord. We hear a whole lot of cars, houses, land, all that kind of stuff. But are we hearing the redemptive revelation of God's word? Are we hearing the word of God that heals, that delivers, that sets free? Okay, I only have a few minutes. Okay, so, and does the vision that we see or God gives us, or even that the prophet ministers to us about, makes us so committed that we pursue it despite any obstacles or challenges? I'm going to keep teaching this because this is good. Vision is the ingredient that launches an individual out of his place, out of his or her place of stagnation. See, Pastor talked about purpose, out of her stagnation, his or her stagnation, into a forwarding action. Pastor talked about purpose, our purpose as leaders, as preachers, as teachers, pastors, bishops, whatever your title may be or you think you may have, is to wake up that is stagnant in others. So if you stagnant, you don't have a you don't have a word for nobody. I'm just saying. The word of God, the redemptive revelation of God's word, wakes up that is stagnant in us. I just want to say that. That's vision. It launches us from stagnation to moving forward. So where are visions birthed? It is birthed out of, I tell people, the purpose that God has given us, the visions that God has given us, is birthed out of that won't leave us alone. And it's God-given. And, you know, there are many good ideas. You know, are there God ideas? Are they going to go beyond the grave? And not only that, are they going to bring people into the revelation of God's word? That's number one. That's important. So it's birthed out of frustration and being tired of the way things are. And they believe things could and should be better. Let me read it right. Visions are birthed in the heart and mind of an individual who is frustrated and tired of the way things contrast with the way they believe things could and should be. So vision, your vision, first of all, is birthed out of frustration. Here's my thing. Frustration because things are not going according to the word of God. To me. And the way that things should and could be, according to the word of God. Okay, so it talks about, here are some people. Civil rights was inspired by Dr. Martin Luther King. Civil rights, equal rights for all individuals. Dr. King birthed a crusade for civil rights. Abraham was asked to leave his homeland. This is a vision. To follow God to an unfamiliar land. And what was birthed from Abraham was the nation of Israel. Oh, come on now, beyond Abraham, way beyond Dr. Martin Luther King. Okay. It was a vision of great discovery that motivated George Washington Carver to discover over 300 uses of the peanut, and we still using peanuts today. Come on now, vision beyond the grave. It was a vision of Peter who to become a fisher of men, to leave his fishing business and to follow Jesus. And that's all the apostles. Matthew's tax collector. Some of them were zealots. They had their own thought processes when it came to religion. Peter, fishing business. I mean, all of these the apostles, they were doing something. And they left their businesses. Come on now, to follow Jesus, to become fisher of men. And their legacy, their vision, which, listen, the redemptive revelation of the Word of God has gone beyond them. Even Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. Okay, just put that out there. So what could be more satisfying than knowing the God of the universe designed you with this unique vision to impact the world? His vision for you is not a one-size-fit-all, but it is uniquely fashioned to fit you. No matter where you are, what country, continent you live on, or what side of the tracks you are from, God created you with a specific vision that no one in this world can live out but you. Okay. I don't care if everybody's doing it. He said, but we all doing the same thing. We all preaching. We all teaching. We all pastoring. Nobody can do that specific, I almost said Pacific, that's the ocean, specific thing but you. I don't care who tries to imitate your vision. This is from Bernard Hayes. I don't care who tries to imitate your vision. They will never live it effectively. Even if someone follows your vision step by step and word by word, no one would never execute it the way you can. And I read that and my heart just leapt for joy. It was like Mary and Elizabeth met, and the Spirit of God in me just jumped, because I do conferences, and the Lord has placed in my heart to do more, and I'm saying, Lord, there's so many conferences out here. People just got conferences all over the place. But here is the thing. Nobody can do it the way God gave it to me. And the amazing thing is people come to our conferences. It's not big, in the sense of size-wise. It's big because the Spirit of the Lord is there. Size-wise, but people are so blessed when they leave the conference. Even this year, in spite of all the challenges that we faced at this conference, God blessed. People were blessed and encouraged. And, so I don't care who's doing whatever they're doing. I don't care how many people are feeding the hungry, how many people, even, for me, I live in a small area, and I'm saying, Lord, how many churches do we really need out here? that's my thought. I mean, like, come on now, how many churches do we really need out here where I live? But, I'm encouraged to know that our fellowship that we have is unique in the fact that nobody can do it the way we do it, because God has given it to us. Oh, Lord, I want to shout right there. Come on, Pastor Melvin Smith, be encouraged. nobody can do it like us. So let me move on. So even if someone does it step by step, word by word, no one will ever be able to execute it the way you can. The tragedy is to live your entire life without ever living to the full potential of your vision. I got to leave it right there. That's a little cliffhanger, because I got to come back next week and share with you some more of these scriptures and this particular article. No one can do it like us. So I'm so encouraged, so encouraged. And God's word motivates us. And I want you all to remember that, the redemptive revelation of God's word. And if the word of God is, if your vision is not doing that, then you really don't have a vision. You don't have one. It has to bring the revelation of God's word. And like I said, there are many people doing many wonderful things and the vision, but are they, is it the redemptive revelation of God? Is it bringing people to the knowledge of God? It says that where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Wow. Wow. That puts a whole nother spin on vision, don't it? That's why it's so important to follow God, to study his word. It really is. It is so, so, so very important. Okay, so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you and praise you for your word, your revelation. Even though it's not new, it's new to us. It's new to us. It stirs us up. It brings us from stagnation to moving forward. I thank you so much and praise you so much for your word today. Oh God, I know that it will not return void. It will accomplish what you have sent it to do. Thank you for those that are listening and those that will listen. Those that are inspired will be inspired. Will move from stagnation to moving forward. I thank you for every pastor that will hear this word. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for your word, because your word is true. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you for healing us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, from the inside out. Oh God, I thank you and I praise you and I magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for the finances that are coming, for people that are struggling, oh God, that they will be stirred even from this message to move from stagnation to moving forward. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. And I magnify you and I glorify you. And I just thank you, Lord, for your word today, your inspiring, encouraging, revelatory word. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it, for your word, for Jesus, your son, for the blood that covers, for your angels that encamp around about us. I thank you, Lord. And I praise you, touch us, Lord, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Oh, God, heal the mind and heart and spirit of your people everywhere. Everywhere. Cast out the spirit of fear. Yes, Lord, cast out the spirit of procrastination. Cast out the spirit of laziness, oh, God, and apathy and doubt. Oh, Father, I thank you. And I praise you that we are moving forward. We are moving forward, even despite the obstacles and the challenges we face. Help us, Lord, to persevere. Help us, Lord, to persevere and to move forward in you. And I thank you. Help us to bring revelation knowledge to your people, the redemptive revelation of your word to your people. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, gotta let you go. Thank you so much for joining me today. I pray you have a blessed Sunday. Go to church somewhere. Amen. Amen. Go to a church that has the vision of God, the redemptive revelation of God's word. I thank you so much for joining me. Pray for me. Pray for Pastor. Pray for our church, Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. We love you with the love of Jesus, and I want you to know that we all must exercise ourselves for the purpose of godliness. God bless you. Have a great, great Sunday.
Thank you.